Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on the third Sunday of Lent. Today we will reflect on today's Gospel of St. John. Please stay with us and we will be right back.
Mexico is the land of mysteries and miracles that many people still don't know about. A Mexico pilgrimage is set for March 31st through April 5th, and you could be a part of it. Deacon Armando Botello will be the spiritual director as you visit the Basilica de Guadalupe, the Pyramid of the Sun and the Moon near Chapultepec, the Fine Arts Palace, and so much more. For complete information on this Mexico pilgrimage, call 510-4727.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and welcome home. You have been traveling quite a bit.
Well, yes. I was in Rome for about 10 days at a meeting retreat. I guess we put meeting/retreat because it has a lot of spiritual content. So it's good to be home, though.
Wonderful. Well, it's good to have you back. And
thank you.
Perhaps in the second part of our program, we can talk about some
sure.
of your experiences in Rome.
Okay.
All right. Well, our gospel this morning is from St. John. So if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself, with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. I can see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, I think we can say that there were two versions of this gospel. One was a longer version and one was a shorter version. And what you just read was the shorter version, which, and there were only just a few paragraphs difference. So if our listeners hear something that has a little bit of differences, that's where that was.
Right, right.
For this morning. Well, of course, we have, again, a Samaritan woman in Jesus, and she brings up the fact that, you know, he is a Jew and she's a Samaritan woman. But there's a lot of baptismal imagery in this particular gospel.
Right. We have three cycles of readings each year, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And, of course, the Gospel of John is interspersed in all three of those cycles. But especially at this time, we're in Lent. And the A cycle with these three readings this week, next week, and the week after are readings that are meant for the baptismal candidates, the elect. They're now called the elect. And these really bring up the imagery, as you said, of baptism, but also of Eucharist and also the Word and the Holy Spirit. So you can see that all this is kind of wrapped into the scene of the Gospel from St. John. Next week, just fast forward a little bit, we'll be looking at the man born blind, where Jesus gives him sight. And the next Sunday, before Passion Sunday, we'll read the Gospel of Lazarus being called out of the tomb and given life. So thirst, sight, and resurrection are really the themes that the church wants those who are preparing for baptism, the elect, to really focus their attention on. But it's also for us who are baptized to really delve into these stories. I think at the very beginning is to look at, to put it in modern terms, the wavelength that they're both on. They're on two different wavelengths.
Exactly.
Obviously. At the beginning, the Samaritan woman is speaking about physical water from the well, the cistern that's there, buckets. And so she's there doing her daily task. She's drawing water for the family. But Jesus comes in, and he's speaking of another type of water. The image of water is the image of what satisfies our thirst. It's the reality of what satisfies our thirst. I don't know if you've ever had the experience, but you can go a day, 2 days, 3 days. Sometimes I go 5 days. I mean, I drink water, but every once in a while on the fourth or fifth day, I just start drinking water and water and water, which says that there's a thirst there that sometimes we're not aware of, mm-hmm. and that's a physical thirst. Mm-hmm. But it needs to be met, and I know the medical community out there would probably write to me and tell me to drink more water, and I already know that. Mine's told me. But what I'm trying to get, the point is that there's a thirst in all of us that we are maybe aware of, sometimes we're not. And that's what conversion is, to make us aware of the need that we all have to be in communion with our God, to be in communion with Jesus Christ. And so as Jesus approaches this woman, which was not customary because the Samaritans were alienated from the mainstream of Jewish life and certainly not associated with, Jesus approaches her, knowing that in her there's a thirst. She may not have known that, but he, as the Messiah, as the one who has the word of life, he knows that she's looking for something more beyond just a bucket full of water. And so he offers that to her in language that she doesn't first catch. So what all of this says to us as well is that we need, especially during Lenten time, to be aware of what we are lacking as far as our spiritual life. So in this encounter, Jesus is really offering the woman himself. Who is the revelation of the Father, who has come to reveal the full truth of God's love for us, of his mercy, and of his desire for us to be his children. We hear Jesus in the gospel say, whoever sees me sees the Father. Whoever hears me hears the Father. So there's this relationship that Jesus has as the second person of the Trinity, in humanity that can draw us into the Father, which is to draw us into that life that we all long for and thirst for. Sometimes we don't realize we're thirsting for it, but this is what he wants to bring us.
You know, Bishop, when you were saying about how you may go a couple of days without having some water, it led me back to when I was taking cycling trips, and they would say, drink before you're thirsty.
Right, right.
And so I think that analogy could probably be used for our own spirituality and our need for Jesus in our lives.
Right.
You know, have that foundation and work toward it before there's something happens in your life where you really, really need his strength and guidance.
Right, because I think, you know, what the real thirst is, a thirst for wisdom, a thirst for the truth, the interior that makes sense in our life. And this is what many times we're lacking in life. We can go through a day, a year, maybe some of the rest of our life without really reflecting on the wisdom that is interior to us, that is part of us but needs to come out. And so Jesus is tapping into that, not into a physical thirst, but into a thirst for wisdom, a thirst for his word. If we look at the scriptures as the wisdom, as the letter to the Hebrews says, the word of God is that cutting edge, that sword with the two-edged sword, that's wisdom. It opens up inside of us and brings us the light, which is the truth, to set us free. And this is what the woman was looking for, and all the townsfolk were basically looking for. It's amazing, too, I think, Barbara, just to see how the woman, once she tapped into that water, which is the Word of God, which is Jesus, the incarnate Word in her midst, she couldn't keep it.
Right.
She couldn't contain herself. She had to tell her friends. And the interesting thing is that it was not that they were not, that these people that came were not, at a certain point said, we don't believe anymore because you told us, but because we've heard for ourselves. Again, the thirst of all of these people, the thirst of all of us to listen. And so we need to, especially during Lent and those who are preparing for baptism in a special way, to really listen. Listen to the Word of God. Let it speak to us. It is a living Word. It is a presence of Christ, which the early church and the fathers of the church have always spoken of, the Word being a presence of Christ. That's the water, the living water that Jesus offers to all of us.
Well, and you had said that when the woman realized that she was meeting Jesus and she couldn't keep it to herself, she herself became an evangelist.
That's what I'm talking. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, she went and sold the others. She couldn't contain it for herself. She had to spread it. It wasn't like a materialist today that wants to keep it all for themselves.
Right.
She said, no, this has to be shared. And so she was a real evangelizer.
We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back. When summer arrives, we all want to be fit and trim, so here's a great way to get started. St. Michael the Archangel Parish in Banchetti will host a 5K run-walk on Saturday, April 5th, rain or shine. The race will begin in front of the church, 4316 4th Street, at 8 a.m. Along the course, there'll be mile markers, water stations, and volunteers to assist and guide participants, and prizes will be awarded to the top runners. The Coastal Bend Bloodmobile will be on hand as well. For registration forms and more information, please visit the church office or call 361-815-9880. Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, you so beautifully described in the first part of our discussion the thirst and how we need the water and to keep us, our thirst for knowledge. And of course, part of that thirst is our word. Part of that thirst is our word of life that we have every month, and so we have the word of life for March.
Right, and you know, it's because I've been out of town, we've kind of missed this. So we're a little bit late, but I still think it's a good thing that we focus on that. And again, I want to say that, you know, that thirst that we're talking about is not a thirst that comes from the intellect. I mean, many of us feel very competent in certain things, in certain areas, and have many talents, but it's the thirst that's at the core of every human being. No one is excluded from this thirst. Because we may not pay attention to it, we may not recognize it. And I'm sure the Samaritan woman going daily to the well, she probably didn't even think about her own personal interior inner thirst. And so I would invite all of us as we do the Word of Life, as we read the Word of Life today, to really open not just the head, to try to analyze, to dissect, what does it really mean, but let it speak to us. And that's why we read these month after month and also try to focus our attention on living them out.
Exactly.
And so let this, the thirst that's in each one of us today, perhaps be a little more satisfied by the word of Jesus in the Gospel of John today in chapter 15. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The word of life for this month is taken from the fourth gospel, where Jesus is addressing his apostles after the Last Supper. It highlights the fact that by observing his commandments, we remain in his love. These words refer to a preceding verse in which Jesus tells his apostles, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," which makes it clear that the motive and incentive for observing his commandments must be love for Jesus. The result is a circular movement between love for Jesus and observing his commandments. Love for Jesus always urges us to live his words more faithfully. At the same time, by living Jesus' words, we remain in his love. As a consequence, we love him more and more. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The point, then, is to remain in his love. But what does Jesus mean by this expression? Undoubtedly, he means that the observance of his commandments is the sign, the proof, that we are his true friends. It is the condition that allows Jesus to reciprocate and assure us of his friendship. But it seems that he wants to say something else as well. And it is this: keeping his commandments makes us grow in that love that is really Jesus' love. He communicates to us his way of loving, which we can see throughout his earthly life. It is a love that made him one with his Father, and at the same time, a love that urged him to identify and be one with his brothers and sisters, especially the least, the weak, the alienated. Jesus' love was a love that healed every wound of the soul and of the body, a love that gave peace and joy to every heart, a love that overcame every division by restoring solidarity and unity among all. If we live his words, Jesus will live in us and make us instruments of his love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. How will we live this month's word of life? We will aim with determination at achieving the objective it proposes. A Christian life is not satisfied with doing as little as possible, with observing the commandments in a cold and exterior way, but rather a Christian life marked by generosity. The saints observed his commandments in this way, and each one became a living word of God. During this month, let us take one of his words, one of his commandments, and try to live it. And since Jesus' commandment, "Love one another as I have loved you," is considered to be the heart, the synthesis of his words, let us live it in an uncompromising way. Written by Kara Lubick.
Bishop, I think I say this to you every month. It's just amazing how these Word of Lives always just blend in with the Gospels that we have for the month.
Right, right. You know, it's true that even the Gospel of the Samaritan woman and, of course, the first Sunday of Lent was temptation in the desert, right. And then last Sunday was the transfiguration of the Lord. And in all of that, Jesus is revealing to us our true self, that he too was tempted because we are tempted. He wanted to identify with us totally, and that's his love for us, wanting to make us, inviting us to be a part of his life, and showing us last Sunday the glory of living with him in our midst, which is the result of reciprocal love. When we love one another, he promised to be among us, so we really live in heaven when he is among us. So this abiding in his love is as he says here, not that we try to go through life doing as little as possible, but really with generosity, to really open our hearts to each other, especially to those that, you know, we would consider enemies, not in the sense of an enemy, but right. someone that's that I find unpleasant, or that's different than I am, or whatever. It's to make that step to love that person as well. I've mentioned this many times. St. John of the Cross says that love equalizes, so that we find in love is the vehicle that we come out of our thirsting life, thirsting for something new, thirsting for something that's greater than ourselves. It's love, the Word of God, the living water that comes up within us when the Word is lived. This is the joy of living the gospel that Pope Francis has written so beautifully about, and that we're invited to every Sunday, but especially this Sunday with the woman at the well.
And when you talk about love, and you were saying about somebody who may be different than us, I think about respect, respecting everybody, and something so simple as looking people in the eye.
Yeah, right.
In this busy society, it's so, you know, at a checkout counter or movie, not looking people in the eye and engaging for that
right.
30 seconds or 1 minute.
Right. You know, you asked about my trip to Rome, and of course, when people, for years, I've been doing this visit to Rome every year, and it's certainly not tourism. Parishioners have always been shocked. You're going there for 5 days and turning around and coming back. Well, what are you going to see? I'm not really going to see anything, you know, and I'm going with a priest, and now 2 weeks ago was with the bishops. But bishops who live a spirituality of communion, and we're there, we start off the meeting saying we're going to spend this week loving one another, which means, as you said, listening to one another, getting to know one another. One of the principles that we try to understand is that your diocese is my diocese is your diocese, that we don't live in vacuums.
Or silos.
And silos as bishops or as priests. None of us should take hold of something as if this is mine. It belongs to Christ. And so, which meant to be able to share their joys and their sufferings with us was a group of bishops of different rites, all Catholic, of course, but they were of different Maronite rite and the other Eastern forms of Christianity, but most of them were from Syria.
Oh.
And just to hear the horror stories, and you know, every day in the newspaper there was something. There was also one tragedy in one of the bishop's dioceses while we were there. So to be able to enter into and share with him, to love him,
right?
Simply by praying with him, by being with him, listening to him, eating. Spending time eating, you know, at one of the meals with him, but just to share life and not to take possession of it ourselves as if everything belongs to us. And this Word of Life, I think, was really the guiding light for our week together, that if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and my love will abide in you, and you in me. And it's that sharing of that love, which is very concrete. It's not a sentimental thing. It's a very concrete expression of helping each other along the way. It was a beautiful weekend, and you could feel throughout the weekend how you become closer and closer as brothers. You know, you're both, all of us, been given the same ministry as bishop, and to be able to share an understanding, but also share a deep love for Christ and the church, which was symbolized really for all of us with a meeting with the with our Holy Father, with Pope Francis.
That must have been amazing.
It was, it was, you know, just to see him as simple as he is, entering the room with a big smile on his face and kind of waving unconventionally, you know, you might say, and going to his chair and giving us a talk, really confirming what we had been doing, talking about communion and unity and new evangelization, that it's so fundamental to the new evangelization to live in this kind of love, which is at the heart of the gospel. So it was a wonderful experience to be there and to see his kindness and gentleness and simplicity, but also his depth and profundity in all that he's doing for the church.
Mm-hmm. He's had an amazing year, hasn't he?
He really has. Yeah. He really has.
Well, we're glad to have you back and sharing your experiences.
Thank you.
If you could end our session this morning, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. O God, author of every mercy and of all goodness, who in fasting, prayer, and almsgiving have shown us a remedy for sin, look graciously on this confession of our lowliness, that we who are bowed down by our conscience may always be lifted up by your mercy, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.